Welcome back to a special holiday edition, a best of edition of the Morning Grind. One of our favorite segments on the show during baseball season is the Ask Tony segment. It's not really Tony La Russa. It's an incredible simulation. It's kind of like Beatlemania, only different. No music. Check it out.
Morning Grind 590, The Fan, KFNS. I think it's my personal favorite.
It's the best.
I love it. It's Ask Tony.
It's
905 in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
One guy has talent, Martin.
What is it? Well, what about me? My dad says that I'm really good.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
So this is Ask Tony, where you can get involved at 969-0590, *590 on your singular wireless, or toll-free 866-326-0590. Call in, and your chance to talk to the Cardinal manager. Tony joins us, and Tony, good morning. How are you?
Well, I mean, ask me about
Don't
10
do
o'clock.
That. Wrong. Now, Tony, I saw something that really... I think is wrong in the clubhouse. When the Cardinals are home, you put out food for the players. That's fine. You also put out dessert items, okay? And before the game, I saw three players having peach cobbler before they were going to play.
Name names!
I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get the players
so,
in trouble.
So, guaranteed,
but
so.
My point is this, okay? Don't you think dessert is better left for after the game?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. That's why I like coming on here. But I think it depends how you look at it. I mean, a lot of people say dessert is for later. But who says? I mean, we talked about it this spring. I know the Rippers said we don't talk to him. But, I mean, Bob Gibson, great example. I mean, he used to always have a Crown Candy shake before the game. I think you look at all things. You get an edge, do dessert first. We're going to do salads after the game.
But if Ray King is having two peach cobblers, I let it name go. I mean, I think that's going to affect his performance.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like last night may be a good example. You know. Lay off the cobbler, maybe makes the play at first a little better. That's probably a legit point. Overall, just trying something different.
It's your chance to get involved and ask the Cardinal manager a question. He will field all questions, and as is tradition in the Cardinal postgame press conference, and ask Tony every Wednesday here on 590 The Fan. Calvin leads off. Good morning, Calvin.
Morning, you guys. Morning, Tony. How you doing today?
Doing good, sir.
Good.
Can't ask him that. He hasn't played yet.
Well, I mean, I gave him a pass.
All right. 6 o'clock this evening, right?
Well, actually, wait till
after the game.
There you go.
If you've been paying attention, Calvin.
Hey,
the game's over at about 9.
There you go. Hey, it's early in the season, but of the five starting pitchers you have, which one has impressed you the most in the starts they have had here in 2005?
Thanks, Calvin.
But that's really tough. I mean, we have been so good from top to bottom. But I mean, you look at favorites. I mean, I probably said Mulder. Only because, I mean, a lot of guys been fouling the ball off. And, I mean, my collection of ARF balls because of the foul balls. I mean, that's tied for first, but that's the tiebreaker. I go with Mulder.
Because of the ARF balls.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of balls that are coming in off fouls, that adds up.
We have Willie on line 3. Willie, you're on 590 The Fan, Morning Grind. Ask Tony.
Hey, Skip, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, on Monday, Martin reported that... how you said that Bobby Cox, you know, gets into the head of the umpires, but how you have a great admiration for Cox. Did Fernando Tatis have the same admiration for Cox as you do?
That's a good question. It's Willie.
I mean, I think Fernando, I mean, when I played in Montreal, played in Tampa, I never played for Bobby. I mean, it's just the freaking moaning. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to go down, like some dirty road or something. I mean, I'm trying to answer the question.
I don't understand.
You know dirty road.
I take the old dirt road every once in a while, the old Mud Island Ferry.
I mean, maybe try tie it all in. We got freaking moaning going on in Atlanta. I don't get the connection.
You're a big fan of Yadier Molina. He's struggling offensively.
He's always on topic.
You're tinkering around a little bit. Have you ever thought about letting Molina take one of the starts on the mound?
You got to consider all things.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the thing he needs to jumpstart him.
You got to try and get an edge. He's got a good arm. I mean, that dunk says everything. He's got great stuff, so you can't rule it out. But I think long term, our fans are going to see this guy is so good. I mean, you're going to forget about Tom Nieto just like that.
I don't think St. Louisans will ever forget about Tom Nieto.
Well, I mean, you give Yadi the season, I think it'll happen.
I'd say put him in the rotation. Do it.
Ryan, you're on 590 The Fan. Ask Tony.
Hey, Tony, first of all, thanks for taking my question.
My pleasure.
I quick Scott Sable, American Idol question. Tony, do you think that Scott Sable resembles the kid who played Piggy in Lord of the Flies? And if so, how does this affect him potentially marketing himself?
Good question. Good question.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. I mean, Piggy, I mean, he hadn't done a lot of work, but he did a little one act out there in the Bay. And he got very involved. I mean, what we were doing with Arf. And, I mean, not just because having a nickname of an animal. I mean, he really cared about, you know, the project. Do I think they look like, I mean, I haven't seen enough of the idol. I mean, Patina usually TiVos it for the clubhouse. You know, I'll take a closer look today. I mean, I'm at the clubhouse right now, so I'll run out there. I'll see if we can get it dialed up. Maybe.
Scotty the body.
Mandy, you're on 590 The Fan. Ask Tony, what's going on with you?
I have a question. I've always wanted to know, why does the manager of a baseball team wear the same uniform as the rest of the team?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, too. I mean, I love hearing from our fans. And we got such good fans here, female fans. You know, I actually talked to Mr. DeWitt in the offseason. And we, you know, I mean, we thought about a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of money right now marketing. I mean, I asked if it was okay. I mean, I wear my Goldberg shirt. I mean, I told you guys before, Bill Veeck, master innovator. I mean, we had the players wear the Gauchos. I mean, that didn't work. But I think I'd be very comfortable. Tight black jeans, maybe a little rock shirt. You know, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young t-shirt on the bench. Maybe a little poodle patch on the sleeve.
What about wearing a uniform of another team? Bob Lemon, former Yankee skipper, during one game wore a Green Bay Packers uniform.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of friends. I mean, Parcells probably sent me something. Bob Knight. I mean, I think ultimately here, to fit in, I mean, I'd like to wear some khakis on the bench. You know, maybe a starched Oxford. I mean, if Mandy thinks it'd be a good idea, I mean, as long as I could wear a little, you know, shih tzu patch, I'd be happy.
Steve, you're on 590 The Fan. Morning Grind asked Tony.
Hey, Tony. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Tony, knowing your love for animals,
yes,
if Dunk were being attacked or mauled by a pack of dogs, would you try to beat the dogs off, get them off your pitching coach, or out of respect for the dogs, would you let them finish their meal?
Great question. That is great.
But, I mean,
that's a good question.
I mean, surprisingly, that is a good question. I think it was like about 80, what was it, like 84, we were in Cleveland for a weekend. And these times were tough. The hotel was... It was not nice. And, I mean, leaving the hotel, Dunk did get attacked. But I'll tell you, I mean, there's one man in this game. I mean, I don't care. You're a German short hair pointer. I mean, you don't mess with Dunk. He can handle. I mean, that's his own business. I mean, that's a legit question because it's happened. And I had a real dilemma. But luckily, I mean, Dunk's as big a badass as they come. I mean, he can take down, I don't care if you're a collie or what, he'll take you out.
What if Kerry Robinson were being attacked by dogs?
Well, then I'd have a decision to make. Read the book.
RJ, you're on 590 The Fan. Ask Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
After the big comeback the other night on Monday night, you pan over to the dugout, and, you know, the players are going bonkers in the dugout, and Dunk and McRae, and you guys are just kind of like stoic over there. Is that rules with you guys? Or I would have liked to have seen you high-fiving the players and stuff, but you guys kind of had all the straight faces on. Is that you, or is that just them as a group?
Well, there's rules for the players. I mean, the rules for the coaches. I mean, at that point, as exciting a game as you're going to see. I mean, I turned to Dunk and said, what do you think Marquis will have tomorrow? I mean, it's all about grinding away. You got to get the W.
No highs too high.
I think you think you got that one. I mean, you get a final out. I mean, who's to say they don't call you back on the field for a fourth out? I mean, you got to always be ready for the next situation.
Has that ever happened?
Yeah, I mean, one time Richie Hebner. I mean, he swing and strike. I mean, the ball game's over. You know, I mean, next thing I know, we're back on the field. I mean, it happens. Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, yes. We enjoyed each victory. I mean, no question. I mean, that was as legit a comeback as you'll see. But we still got to look ahead.
Oliver, you're on 590 The Fan. Ask Tony.
Konnichiwa. How you doing there, Skip? Sure. I'd like to know two questions, please. When are Ryan Seacrest and Uriah Heep going to be the clubhouse guests? I know Jimmy Ballgame could use a spotter when he gets the frosting that lettuce, and everybody loves Uriah Heep. And also, I have a stray cat in my truck. I was wondering if I could trade out for some free ball tickets.
There's Oliver.
We actually, I mean, I don't know how many listeners know this, but there are a couple of stray cats this year down at the ballpark. And I'm not talking about Brian Setzer. I mean, he's a good man, but... We actually literally got some calicos or something in the clubhouse.
In the clubhouse?
Yes, sir. Yeah. What was the other one?
I wanted to know about Ryan Seacrest and Uriah Heep being clubhouse guests.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to limit it. I mean, I don't want the players to be overwhelmed. I'll come back this week. I mean, like Willie Ames is going to be there for the weekend with the family. I think David Coverdale's coming in Sunday. I don't want to overdo it. I think the players get a kick out of it. I mean, when you're, you know, performer. I mean, Tony Orlando, great example. I mean, he came through. I mean, really gave Andy Bennis great advice. I mean, Big Bean couldn't find a zone. And Tony Orlando had some tips. So, if I think Seacrest give us an edge, we'll try it.
One more. Steven, you're on 590 The Fan. Morning Grind. Ask Tony. You are the final caller today, sir.
Can each of the show. God bless.
God bless.
Tony, I just want to know, as you're sitting down there coaching, home or away, are you ever distracted by the hot-looking chicks sitting in the good seats?
Wow, that's a really good question.
Well, I mean, man, not a machine. So, yeah, I mean, I think about all that, but, I mean, you cannot lose your edge. Yeah, I mean, I sit in the clubhouse, dugout, there's all kinds of, you know, the distractions. I was in there last week. We got a great ball game, and I knew... I mean, the ball game ends. I got a book signing at Del Taco. I got to get moving, and it's hard to stay focused. But I mean, I think the folks understand. I get in the tunnel. I'm in the tunnel. I mean, I'll be at Reds eighth inning Friday.
Signing books?
Yes, sir. So the point, you got to lock in. It's tough. I mean, I turned around one time. I mean, I don't know if that was Audrey Hepburn, but that was a real hottie. Right next to the clubhouse, dugout. I mean, that's tough to focus. I mean, you give me a Linda Evans, Linda Gray, that's tough to zero in.
Andy Tony, Dickinson? You really brought it today, man. This is a particularly insightful addition, I think.
I thought so, too. I'd like to see the Cardinal uniform maybe have a Shih Tzu on the left shoulder, right near the Busch Stadium patch.
Well, I think, I mean, we do a lot of great things. And Mr. DeWitt's been very supportive. You know, I appreciate the listeners. I mean, I think an opportunity like this, I really get better in touch with them in spite of you guys.
Tony, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. We look forward to next Wednesday for Ask Tony.
That was Ask Tony on the Morning Grind. We'll have more of this Best of Edition after this.
Back on the Best of the Morning Grind, as if there's such a thing as the Best of. We'll have the Worst of, by the way, next week coming up. One of the beauties of the show, though, you never know what's going to happen any given day. We kid that people are friends of the show. Well, we assume Larry Plo, the GM of the Blues, probably not a friend of the show, but it turns out Jim Hayes breaking the story. The Blues GM, Larry Plo, listens to the Meteor, actually likes the show. So we thought, you know what? If he really likes the show, even though he's typically not the most interesting interview, we said we're giving him a shot to play ball with the Grinders. Larry Plo on the Best of the Morning Grind. The general manager of the St. Louis Blues, Larry Plo. Larry, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're well. And Larry, thanks for coming on. Yesterday at the Blues morning skate, you and I were talking about a number of topics, and it came up that you actually listened to the show, and you said you're a Grinder.
I'm a Grinder.
He's a Grinder.
Not all the time, but I catch it, you know, if I'm driving or... And I turn you guys on. Entertaining. You got to leave Joe alone, though. He was complaining to me. I haven't been listening this morning, but he was complaining to me when he called me. So these guys won't leave me alone.
Producer Joe's whining to the GM of the Blues.
You don't want to know the things that this guy has been involved with. Believe me, Larry.
He can whine to me. I got a lot of people whining right now. So.
Now, you said that there was one time that you were almost ready to call in to take a stand on something. What was that about?
The pedicures you guys were talking about.
Yeah, if you get a if you're a man and you get a pedicure, you're gay.
I got a pedicure before. I mean, you know, I couldn't believe you guys. All over people that get a pedicure.
So you, Larry Plo, get a pedicure?
I've had one before, yes.
Hello.
Were they done by two burly men?
Jeez, you guys are awful.
You know, all you're doing here is adding ammunition for your critics.
Try them. You might like them.
Try it. You might like it.
All right, give me Nick's number.
Larry Plo, the general manager of the Blues. You know, Larry, I do imitations of people, and I don't really have a good, very good Larry Plo, but you do say meteor, and then you say I have no idea. Now, you are a very friendly
guy. Why are you killing the guy that comes on the
show?
No, that's
not right.
Mark. You're classless.
You guys just don't like that Boston accent, that's all.
No, that's true.
I'm trying to get it down. I can't, but I said we could go to a Larry Plo press conference and be like, is Brett Hull still on the team? He was like, I have no idea. You're very good. You could run like the military operations for the government.
My wife hasn't understood me for 35 years.
The thing about the media, Larry, it seems like you tolerate us.
Well, it's not. No, you don't tolerate it. It's a fun part of our business.
I would think it's the worst part about it.
Why?
Well, because
once you get a feel that you guys have a job to do, we got a job to do. I mean, we're both working in the same field, and we both have to give something to each other to make it work.
But our job is to try and find out what you have going on and then report on it and then possibly critique it. And your job is to try and keep that stuff on the down low so it doesn't blow any potential deals.
Well, that's the Monday morning quarterback of the business, of the game. It's like I will never answer rumors or things like that. I mean, you know, some people do. I just don't. You answer one rumor, then you've got to have an answer for all of them. But it's entertaining, I think. It's part of our sporting world.
Top five media members that you hate, Larry, go.
Oh, come on.
Just between us.
Talk hockey.
Talk hockey? We don't do that on this show. Haven't you heard Kachuk's on this show, and he doesn't talk hockey?
Come on, you got to talk hockey with us.
What do you want? You want us to talk about the Blues?
Whatever you want to talk about.
All right.
How's your fantasy football team doing?
Did you guys go to the game last night?
I was there for a period last night. Great food. Great food. No, you got to get some light. I had to go back to do my TV work, unfortunately. But I did. I talked to Sauer for a little while, and see, I like Sauer a lot because when you're sitting there BSing with him, he's a funny guy. Usually, he's boozed up on the Merlot, but he's a very entertaining guy. now, but you get him on camera.
Well,
you get
that's
him on,
an awful rumor to start.
No, it's not a rumor. It's based in fact. But if you get him, he knows I say this, but if you get him,
he dumped a glass of Merlot on me. Larry.
This is true.
At the MAC, I saw it.
But if you get Mark on the radio or TV, all of a sudden, this is the button-down Blues. Oh, that's a tremendous question, Jim. Our franchise is trying very hard. And then you get them off the camera, and it's funny stuff.
It's unbelievable that you asked me that. I can't believe you asked me that. Are you a liberal like he is, Larry?
No.
No, really.
You're a Massachusetts guy.
Yeah. I thought everybody was liberal.
Do you guys talk politics?
Laugh.
You and Sowers?
You guys are going to have me on here to talk some hockey.
No, don't you? You said you listen to the show, don't you know? We don't really talk hockey.
Yeah, sure, I hear you guys talking hockey once in a while.
Let's see.
No, we have.
What else? Cat asked something hockey. Kiddo, you want to play? We have a game that we do, Larry, called Know Your Blues.
No.
And we actually.
No. Know your current Blues.
And we actually quizzed people, and we did this with Kachuk, and he failed because he didn't know one of his teammates. We tried to get him out of the buffet and introduce himself to some of his teammates.
I don't know any of the nicknames. I don't want to know the nicknames.
How about nickname is Waiter? Okay, I'll assume that you got that one. How about hometown of Beaver Lodge, Alberta?
Beaver Lodge, Alberta. Is that Walker?
That's Walker. Very
nicely
good.
Done. He knows his Blues.
Wow, no, you're
you guys. I gotta go. Unless you want to talk a couple minutes of hockey, I'm here for the hockey. I don't want to entertain you guys.
No, you're being entertaining. This is good.
Yeah, you're entertaining us.
You can't leave yet. We're not done.
See, this to be a grinder, you gotta play ball. You can hockey. All right, give Blues fans, we'll ask one hockey question. Give Blues fans a reason to believe. Give them a reason it's going to get better.
It's going to get better. I believe that. And, we're going through a tough time right now, but it's going to get better. We're a work in progress, and as the year goes on, we're going to get better, and believe in us and stick with us. I know it's not an easy time right now to do that, and we've just come out of the lockout, but I think you'll see as the year goes on, we'll be a better hockey team.
Why do you have faith?
We have to think positive, and when you go through something like that, that's the key. You know, we've got to think positive, and, you know, we respect what we've been through and the fans have been through in the last year. And I think the game itself, with the rules we've changed and the things we've done, it's a better game, and we'll be a better team as the year goes on.
Larry Plo with us on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS.
That's Tim's serious voice.
Stick with us.
We're sticking with you.
The grind.
Now that you're part of the family,
you've kind of won me over today.
What? Okay. I gotta go, you guys.
All right. Hey, before real quick, nicknamed Diesel.
Hey, come on now, you guys stick with us and talk a little more hockey there.
All right, Larry.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, eh?
We're going to keep that in mind. Talk some more hockey, eh, guys? Okay. Got to get going. Our friend Larry Plow. I probably won't be on the grind again, but it was worth a shot one time. This is the best of the morning grind. It rolls on right here, the Friday edition of the program on 590 The Fan.
590 The Fan. KFNS.
We've had a lot of quote-unquote high points on the morning grind in the year and a half that we've been doing the program. My personal favorite, though, was when the Cat called out to Las Vegas acting like he was an agent for me, but I was Talon from Laguna Beach, and he called Treasure Island acting like he needed to get a hotel room and a comp deal for a big shooter. And it didn't go over all that well with the lady answering the phones. Here is the Cat acting as my agent, Harvey Goldfarb. Here's the situation. Bella and I may shoot to Las Vegas on Wednesday, stay out there for a few days, a Labor Day weekend. So I've got free tickets, but I need a place to stay. And so, according to someone on the Inside STL message board, if you call a hotel and act like you're a big shooter's agent, they will.
Who would it be? Jaquan?
I think I'm more like Murphy Lee.
All right.
How about them Cardinals? Yes. Friend of the show. Thank you. We'll get that going again.
Remix. All right. So then you call out there and you say you're an agent for a big shooter. And you say, listen,
he's going to. Do you say who the person is? Or do you just.
You can just. Apparently, you can just say anybody, but you really kind of sell it. And they will hook you up with a room, a really nice room. Say you need, you know, some privacy because he's going to draw a lot of attention. They'll hook you up with a nice room, VIP passes to the clubs, and you're set for the
records.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Sure.
Let's do it.
You want to do it?
Let's do it.
You could be Talon from Laguna Beach.
Yeah, that might not be a bad move.
I don't know if you know my client. He's on a show called Laguna Beach.
This is his buddy. His name's Talon. This is his buddy Dieter.
Okay. He's been dating.
What do you want to be?
Taylor. Yeah.
I'll be. I don't want to be Huey Lewis. I either want to be Murphy Lee or Talon.
Then it'll be Talon. What's Talon's last name?
Taylor.
Is it?
Yeah.
That'll work.
For our Talon purposes. Taylor?
All right, go ahead, Kat. It's all you, bitch.
Thank you for calling reservations at Treasure Island. How can I assist you?
Yeah, I'm looking for a manager, please.
Sure, for which department?
Well, I got a celebrity that wants to stay at your place, so I want to see if I can make the arrangements.
I can give you the toll-free number for VIP when they open in an hour.
Yeah, I got to talk to someone now. It's Talon from Laguna Beach, and Talon doesn't wait.
Oh, well.
Is there a manager there, please?
There's really no one that can. I mean, do you need a special rate, or what is it you're looking for?
I just need a place where he's going to get mobbed, okay, because a lot of chicks kind of dig his style. So I need a place where he get a little privacy. If I can get a cheaper rate, that would be great, because it would make me look good as I'm his agent.
What day are you looking for, sir?
Looking for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. And honestly, he's a pretty big star. Talon Taylor from Laguna Beach. He's a pretty big. Have you ever heard of him? You ever watch Laguna Beach on MTV? It's taken off.
No.
Well, believe me, if you got to look at this guy, you'd be all over him.
Okay, so you want September 1st, checking out on the 5th?
Yeah, that seems. Yes, that's it.
Okay. You're looking for like a jacuzzi suite?
What do you got?
I have regular rooms. They're $89 on Thursday, $129 Friday, Saturday's $179, and Sunday is $129.
Can you knock that down a little and make me look good?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't negotiate rates, and nor can the managers. That's per the president of our property. We do have suites also available, though, if you'd like. Those are $139, $209, and $319.
I don't want to be crass,
yeah.
But he stayed at the Venetian a couple of months ago. They said the same thing, and I sent a couple of pictures naked of Talon, and they gave him a lower rate.
You know what, sir, I really don't want to discuss this with you. I mean, this is the rates we have. A manager cannot lower the rate. This is per our president of our property. This is the way they run it here.
You want the photos anyway?
No, I don't really. Thank you, though.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Bye. So, Tim doesn't have a room just yet.
That was some of the Cat's finest work and one of my favorite moments on the show in the year and a half we've been doing this radio magic. Also, one of the things that has evolved over the course of the 18 months or so that we've been doing the radio program is the emergence of Caller Rudy.
A lot of people think that he's a fictitious character, somebody perhaps on the staff acting like this. But no, this guy is a real-life Hoosier, and he calls in pretty regularly. And after the Rams were defeated handily by the San Diego Chargers in the exhibition portion of this season, Rudy called in and suggested that Mike Martz use some Tai Chi with his team, and that would help the defense. So I told Rudy, well, why don't you give him a call? I'll leave the number for you. You leave him a message. Well, I switched my voicemail message on my cell phone. Rudy left a message, and here's how it all played out.
Hey, this is Mike Martz, head coach of the St. Louis Rams. Shoot, I'm not around right now, but if you leave me a message, I'll get right back to you. Thanks.
First skipped message.
Yeah, Mike Martz, this is Rudy. I was calling about the way the Rams weren't really concentrating on defense. They need to get more focus, and there's a martial art called Tai Chi that helps you, you know, like a mind over matter, helps you concentrate better. Because they were just hesitating too much. They weren't going in and doing the job right. Okay, thank you.
Rudy displaying his fine work in leaving the message on my cell phone, not Mike Martz's voicemail. He's also called in with various issues, whether it be his roommate having a stroke, his marital problems, or just being drunk. Rudy's become a regular on the show. Here's some more of Rudy's fine work.
Rudy, you're on 590 The Fan.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, a little baseball in the old barn. Okay, now, I don't remember if it was Whitey or Joe Torre, but he put his pitcher into right field for, like, one.
Todd Worrell.
And then brought in another pitcher, and then, you know.
Ken Daly came in.
Back in, yeah.
Ken Daly would come in, Worrell would go to right.
Yeah, I've never seen La Russa try anything like that.
Well, he's having Einar Diaz pitch tonight.
But I was going to say, if we had to lose a... you know, outfielder. We got great outfielders in Mayberry and Saguchi and stuff like that.
Saguchi?
Yeah. We got good outfielders in them, you know, to back up.
He Mayberried us.
Huh?
Carry on.
Okay. Yeah, John Mayberry. I'm sorry. Okay.
How many calls a day do they allow, Rudy?
Huh?
How many calls a day do they allow?
Call. What are you talking about?
I'm not sure where you were calling from.
Calls a day.
Hey, did you want to do the exit poll?
But okay. And then it's like the old barn. It's like I kept hearing everybody talk about hockey games and stuff like that.
I missed the old barn.
My most memorable moment of that was the Boy Scout Jubilee, because I remember going in there and it was like I'm sitting there looking at all them people. Boy, that was scary. And okay, the other baseball question I was wanting to ask was how come they don't choke up on the bat and hold
that's
up
a great,
like halfway?
That's a great question. That's why I love our fans. I mean, I talked to Mitch Page about that. We got to choke up a lot more.
Yeah, it's like when you need to move, when you need to hit the ball, you choke up, hold up about halfway, and it's like
halfway.
I hold up halfway and I power.
Who do you play for? The Cubs.
I play corkball. I don't play that. You know, I ain't, you know. But I hold up like halfway, and that way I can hit the ball, and I can put it in play, and I power it past the infield.
Do you move runners over in corkball?
No, we just, nobody's
already a small ball.
Because they usually have beer in their hand. Yeah,
I think they do right now.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, you talk if you spill your beer, it don't count, you know.
Rudy, I need you to reset. It's been a long call here. We got to reset. Just say this is 590 The Fan, The Morning Grind.
Okay, 590 The Fan. Okay.
All right, this has been Rudy's call, brought to you by our friends.
I guess it ain't going to make the air, is it?
No, my man, you're on the air. Rudy's call, brought to you by Red's 8th Inning Grill. Stop on by. Stag specials today between 4 and 6.
Okay. Well, take it easy now.
All right, take care, Rudy. Don't be a stranger.
Like that? Here's one more. Rudy continues to do fine work on The Morning Grind, 590 The Fan.
...of the past, maybe he wants to be re-racked for the anniversary special. Rudy, you're on 590 The Fan.
Okay, what's the subject of
be?
That's a fair question. Steven Seagal is singing. Are you up or down? Up or down? Go.
Down.
Down on Steve. What's wrong with Steven Seagal singing?
I don't know. I never heard him sing. I ain't got a CD.
What about Chuck Bronson when he used to do the karaoke? What do you think of that?
I don't know. I never seen him either.
Hey, Rudy, ever been on a Boy Scout jamboree?
Yeah, that was a while back.
Tell me about it.
Is it the old barn?
Yeah, it was at the old barn, and I was probably about 10, 12 years old. It was,
I like to giggle.
It was scary, really.
Why, did any of the counselors, any of the scout leaders?
Hey,
Rudy, hey. Any of the scout leaders try to cuddle up with you?
Hello.
Any of the scout leaders try to cuddle up with you?
No. Not back then. Not in our troop, anyway.
Rudy, are you aware, though, you had a phone call and that was recorded here and was quite popular. And now when we're doing our anniversary show a week from today of the Morning Grind, a lot of people, when we say what callers, we had a soccer call, we had a guy named Skip who was all upset. A lot of people say they want the Rudy call in there, so you're slightly infamous.
Okay, well, you know.
Are you kind of honored or touched?
We've been past, I usually work nights, so
So you're just kind of waking up, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of winding down.
Right. What do you do for a living, Rudy?
I'm doing odd jobs. Kind of work I can get. Sealing driveways, painting, tuck pointing, whatever, you know.
Well, I need some of that done. I might have to give Rudy a call.
Okay.
Okay. Rudy, thank you.
On the sports, I just want to know, how come they don't use, like, on special teams, how come they don't use, like, a Lando Pace, like a Utah Jones?
Like a block and a kick, maybe.
Well, if I was a center and I had him breathing down my neck, I'd probably try to get rid of the ball as fast as I could. And it might cause a bad snap, or if he can beat the guy, he might get a chance to block the punt.
Hey, you know what, Rudy?
I'm
going to
put Rudy on hold.
Yeah, Rudy, we're talking about
Mini-Grind. Mini-Grind is requesting his presence in there.
We're discussing Steven Seagal at this point.
That was one of our favorites. Call Rudy. He's become a staple on the Morning Grind on 590 The Fan KFNS. We haven't done much good work, but you're hearing the best we have to offer today on the day after Thanksgiving. You're listening to the Morning Grind, best of, on 590 The Fan KFNS. Welcome back to 590 The Fan's Morning Grind, best of edition here for the holiday. One of the finest moments in St. Louis sports in recent memory, not just in 2005, was when Albert Pujols hit that home run to extend the NLCS to Game 6 and bring it back to St. Louis. And the following morning on the Morning Grind, we were live in Houston, and I had a chance to talk to the Cardinal manager, Tony La Russa, who, as you would imagine, was awfully fired up after that emotional victory.
We're very happy to be joined by Tony La Russa, the Cardinal manager, this morning on 590 The Fan, the Morning Grind. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, from a fan's perspective, it doesn't get any better than what took place last night at around 10:30 when Albert Pujols hit that home run. From a manager's perspective, what was it like in that dugout?
Well, it's still hard to believe. I mean, people that have had a good time on the bus comparing a number of messages on everybody's cell phone, and they were in the, 15, 16, 20s, 30s, whether it be Albert's or Barry's or mine or anybody's. So everybody is still thinking it's incredible. And, I mean, if you did that during the season, it would be something you'd never forget. But to do it in that circumstance when we're facing, the end of our season, it was just hard to believe.
Tony La Russa with us on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS. Describe the emotional swing that takes place with that one at bat. I mean, you're talking about potentially, And this possibility still exists, but potentially the end of Busch Stadium, the end of Larry Walker's career, the potential end of a few guys that were in that dugout with you stay in St. Louis, all of that comes to an end with one swing, and now, as opposed to planning for the offseason, you plan for a Game 6. What kind of emotional swings did you experience when that took place?
Well, it's impossible to describe. I mean, you have to be gifted at either writing or talking or something. I don't think you can even come close to describing it, because the reality is that no matter how optimistic, we did think going into the ninth that we had a shot just because the baseball being what it is, and and who we had. If we could get somebody on base, it'd be Jim up there and then Albert. When you get two outs and, you know, it doesn't look good at all, you know, you have some thoughts about, you know, it's hard to believe this is going to end this way after all this club is done. And but, I mean, it would be, I mean, totally inadequate to try to describe it. You know, I mean, just imagine, I think you just imagine, put yourself in our position, and that's the way it feels.
Tony La Russa with us on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS. I recall watching something on ESPN. I don't know if you've ever watched it. It was a great program. It was more or less a sports century on Kirk Gibson's home run, Game 1 of the 1988 World Series. Obviously not a positive memory for you, but one of the things that they said in that program was that once Gibson hit that home run, even though it was Game 1, the Dodgers felt like they had won the World Series. So in bringing that up, I'm asking you, as someone who's on the other side of one of the most dramatic moments in baseball history, what kind of psychological effect did it have on your 1988 Oakland A's team?
It did some damage. But I think the point that isn't told as often and is just as important is that the Dodgers were able to follow up Game 1 with Hershiser. Because of the way they had to beat the Mets and using Hershiser, they could not pitch him in Game 1. Mm-hmm. So Tim Belcher pitched against. All of a sudden, now they steal this one game, and the next night we're facing Oral Hershiser. So, you know, he was having that phenomenal season. Now, you know, a few innings later, you know, we're down 2-0. So I think, it's hard to describe. You know, when you're in the postseason and wins and losses are very intense, and they're multiplied as far as their effect. To lose one that you should win, or win one that you should lose, I mean, it's a big swing. But when you look to Wednesday, you know, it more than anything else, it comes to Mulder and Oswald. I mean, Oswald can steal the momentum back by being great, and Mulder can help us keep it by being great.
Tony La Russa is with us this morning on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS. I was listening to your post-game comments, and you said while the ninth inning was going on, Rodriguez had struck out and Mabry had struck out. You snuck a couple peeks into the Astros dugout, and we're looking at a guy like Jeff Bagwell, a great baseball man, who looked like he was finally going to get his shot to go to a World Series. Larry Walker is quoted as saying he was looking into the Astros dugout and wasn't too happy to see the Astros high-fiving and dancing before they recorded that 27th out. What's your take on what you saw over in Houston's dugout?
Well, I didn't have any problem with their excitement. I mean, you know, there's a lot of emotion involved in this thing. The stakes are really high. I mean, I've seen us getting, you know, all of a sudden you hit a big home run or a big base hit, take the lead, and guys are jumping around and screaming, and then you still got some work to do. I had no problem with, just like the day before when they got the double play and went crazy on the field. I remember we did that in 96. Against the Braves, we came back to win that game where Dimitri hit the triple, and I mean, that was, and it got the big save with, so I had no problem with that. I mean, you know what I do, a lot of times, otherwise you just stare straight, you know, you end up looking around a lot. I mean, it's just part of looking at the offense, the defense, the scene, the whole thing, you know, and I happened to glance at the dugout, and one guy that I noticed was Bagwell, because he's got immense respect with everybody, and, But believe me, I'm very happy that we're still playing and they're not in the World Series yet, or ever.
Tony La Russa with us on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS. The Fox cameras caught you grabbing Albert Pujols as the team was walking off the field right after the completion of the Game 5 victory and exchanging some emotional words with him. What was that brief conversation?
Well, it's, you know, the way I am, Tim. If you have it, whether you have it with an individual like Albert or with a team, you know, I mean, if it's private, I think it's really, you know, not in place to repeat it. You know, I mean, it may be wrong. Like, I see guys repeat it all the time, but, you know, it was something private I wanted to tell them, and we had another such conversation on the plane, which to me is, you know, is something very special that I'll remember always, and, you know, I just rather keep it private. I just don't think it should be shared.
No problem with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. As far as last evening, me personally, and I'm not even on the team, I'm so excited I haven't slept. How did you handle last night when you guys got back?
Well, you know, just because Sammy's in California, I was talking to him till just a couple hours ago, really. I mean, just believe me, to go through something like that because of the circumstances, I don't think any of us will ever forget it. I don't care if you were in, you know, and I don't ever do that bull about what you had to be. You know, if you're not in uniform, you don't understand. If you cared about winning, and our fans care about winning, I know you care about the Cardinals winning. We all feel the same way. I mean, it was just an incredible escape, a miracle. I will tell you, well, I shouldn't tell you. I got a message where I had a really good friend call me on my message, who, with two outs, was telling me how terrible he felt because this great season was going to end, and we were all looking. A friend from Chicago was looking forward to the Cardinals and the White Sox meeting up. And literally said, you know, I just, unless there's a miracle, you know, I just feel terrible. And, you know, just, and end of the message. And, you know, a few seconds later, he called, and well, a few minutes later, there's a second message saying the miracle happened, you know, and he's completely the opposite. He's ecstatic. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's how we all felt, you know, just like we escaped. And now we all understand, man, it's about Wednesday night in Bush. We're all excited to be there. But, you know, it's going to be a great scene, and we need to get two games. They need to get one. So, I mean, we still got a lot to do.
To me, Tony, there's a great amount of karmic justice in the fact that that same pitch that was called a strike on Edmonds in Game 4 was a ball that led to the walk that allowed Pujols to come to the plate. And there's also something just right about the fact that Busch Stadium doesn't come to an end on a nondescript Game 2 loss to the Houston Astros. At least it's going to go out with a bang one way or the other, whether it's a Game 6 matchup with 52,000-plus thrilled about the fact that the thing's still going on, or it's World Series Game 4 or 5 against the White Sox. There's something right about getting back there and getting that shot, and I'm sure as a guy who's been managing the club for 10 years, you're thrilled about the fact that you get to go back there and manage at least one more time at that ballpark.
Well, absolutely. It'll add to the magic of everything that's gone on. And I agree with you, you know, that. And, that, you know, there's nothing about destiny. I mean, this, believe me, there's anybody out there, up there or sideways, anywhere, controlling and saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be because the ballpark deserves to go out with a ball game or two or whatever. It's just the way it happens. But the reality is that there's been so much history in that park that, you know, it'd be a shame. It would have been a shame for Game 2 to have been the last ball game played there.
Tony La Russa with us on the Morning Grind. Very kind to join us this morning after getting into St. Louis late last night after the Game 5's victory. Couple of lineup and health questions. Do you anticipate Abraham Nunez being available to go tomorrow night in Game 6 against Roy Oswalt?
Well, he told me there's absolutely no way he wouldn't play. And I smiled at him because, you know, that's the excitement of the moment. I also watched him walk up the stairs to the airplane, and he still got a limp going. But obviously, he's going to get a lot of treatment. It's you know, you're talking about 48 hours. It's the classic time where we need Abe playing because with Mulder throwing that sinker up there, you know, in right-hand hitters, the ball figures to go to third. And, you know, he could be an important key to winning. So, and, you know, my guess is knowing him and the way we're treating him and everything, I think it's likely he'll play.
Larry Walker has struggled in the postseason, although, and I've been very critical of him on this show, and I'm sure you're listening very intently to what I have to say, but it seems like in the last couple of games he's got some good swings. He's 333 in his career against Roy Oswalt and 21 at-bats. I've done a little number digging here, and two of those were home runs with five RBIs. Do you anticipate leaving him in a crucial spot in the lineup, perhaps the five spot against Oswalt, where he was in Game 2?
Well, he might be five, he might be four. I mean, I think the key is when you start looking at lineups, I think the big key is, you know, can he make a good swing? If he can make a good swing, you know, you're better off playing him with his talent, whatever his numbers are. You know, the alternative is not just... you know, I don't know that we have other guys that's got better numbers, whether it's John or Mabry or Rodriguez. So I think if he's healthy enough to take a good swing, you've got his talent, you've got his experience, and his ability to rise to the occasion. So I'm hoping that he's healthy enough.
Tony La Russa with us on the Morning Grind, 590 The Fan, KFNS. If there is what we all hope there is, which is a Game 7 Thursday night at Busch Stadium, who will start the game for the Cardinals?
Yeah, well, I mean, we got Matt Slater to pitch that game, and the only way he wouldn't, if physically, he wasn't ready to go.
Fair enough. Tony, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Congratulations on an incredible win last night, and best of luck tomorrow in Game 6.
Okay, Tim, thank you.
That was the Cardinal manager, Tony La Russa, joining us on the Morning Grind for 590 The Fan, Morning Grind Best of Edition here on the holiday. We'll be back with more after these messages.
Would any Best of collection here on the Morning Grind be complete without the phone call? The phone call, the one that really set the standard for long-winded, boring radio. The one and only Digger Phelps. Former Notre Dame coach, was a friend of the show, well, for a day. I think we may have asked one question. I believe the segment may have gone 20 minutes, and it has become part of Morning Grind lore. Stedman at the board is now the master of it. It's become a verb around here, as an adjective. I don't know. When you get diggered, that means you just ramble a little bit too much, and we have the eternal digger here, where he will just pop up on people. Well, the reason that happens was because of one phone call. Digger Phelps talking to us, talking ad nauseum. Here it is, the original. Woo! Take a seat here. It's going to take a while. This is the original Digger Phelps interview.
So now, joining us here on 590 The Fan, the one and only Digger Phelps. Digger, how are you?
Pretty good. Yourself? Getting ready for madness?
Yeah, we're getting slowly ratcheted up, although around
we're
here.
We're mad already.
Don't mind him, Digger. Don't mind him. I got to make a confession right out of the gate. I'm a Marquette guy, so I always had to go down to the old Mecca and boo Digger and the Irish.
You would have got thrown beer at me.
No, I remember that. Yeah, there was a famous incident. You were all upset, and then there was a big story in the paper where the –
Royal got in the eye. Well, you know, when that ramp is going by a locker room, somebody threw beer and got in his eye at halftime.
I was trying to remember if it was David Rivers. I was trying to think of who. Donald Royal.
That was Donald Royal. Yeah, it was. But they were always great games there. I love Marquette. What was funny, my son-in-law, Jamie Moyer, pitches for the Seattle Mariners, and when – Mariners are playing Milwaukee when they're still in the American League. I went to a couple games up in Milwaukee, and all of a sudden one of the beer guys comes over and gives me a beer, and he says, those four guys behind, you bought your beer about 10 rows back. I turn around and look, and they were Marquette fans just saying, Digger, we remember when. I said, well, why didn't you give me the beer back then rather than throwing it?
Rather than throwing it.
You know?
I was not the second shooter in that throwing. I had nothing to do with that beer.
It's better to drink than to wear the beer.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Especially Milwaukee.
It doesn't say a whole lot about their brain power, than Marquette kids, throwing beer instead of drinking it.
Hey, between St. Louis and Milwaukee, if there's not enough beer there's no beer anywhere.
There's some beers flying here.
You got it.
Hey, we don't have a whole lot of great hoops, though, around here. We got Missouri. We got St. Louis U. So we've been living off the
We're still crossing our fingers that SLU is a bubble team and has a chance.
Well, the way they played against Kansas, Mizzou, let's see what they do in Nebraska today. You know, I think it's going to be interesting this afternoon as they kick it in. Of course, then they face Oklahoma, who I think is one of the hot. There's three teams in the country I think are really hot right now, Oklahoma, Connecticut, and Arizona. And it's amazing how Oklahoma is so quick to the ball. I don't care if it's loose balls, rebounding, or just getting tip-ins off the glass, get in a position to find you in passing lanes. They just really are playing very, very well, and I think they're going to be tough to beat as we see the Big 12 Conference come together. Of course, I like Kansas. I think Kansas losing that game to Missouri pushed out their chance for number one seed because they've lost four out of their last six games, and that really hurts. And then Langford with an ankle, I wouldn't play him because I still think Kansas is going to be one of those teams that can happen anywhere, anytime, get to that Final Four because they have the potential to do it with their experience, especially Wayne Simeon inside and Aaron Miles running that team.
Digger Phelps of ESPN with us here on 590 The Fan, joining us on the SBC Fan Line. Digger, what's your take on Missouri? Are they just not that good? Are they underachieving?
I think they just had a lot of distractions, and I think this win now, and they have a chance against Nebraska, but Nebraska plays very tough. They're very disciplined, and Collier always has had good teams, and what if it's at Butler on Nebraska, so it's going to be interesting. But they should have some confidence just going into it. I think it comes down to next year. They've had so many distractions on and off the court, and they just have never had that right mindset to get it done until they beat Kansas this past weekend. So maybe this is the turning point of Quinn Snyder's getting this team going.
What's your opinion of Quinn Snyder and the job he's done in Columbia?
He's a good guy. I recruited him in high school. He went to Duke. He was a solid player at Duke. He was one of Coach K's assistants, and he'll get things going the way they should with what I think has been a tradition with Missouri basketball.
Is his image not, though, tarnished at all nationally because of the problems they've had?
I think you move forward from that. You look back and just say, all right, this was yesterday. Now I got to take care of today and tomorrow, and that's all you can do. You can't change the past, but you can change the future with just what you do as far as getting the program going. And they're in a position to do that because they've got facilities, they've got a great conference, and it's a coaches' conference, and I think you can compete against all those coaches in Big 12.
Digger Phelps joining us on the Morning Grind. Digger, I think Illinois is the best team in the country. What do you think of them? And if they do have a weakness, is it up front?
I agree that they are the best team in the country. And I don't know if that is a weakness up front because of what's so amazing about Illinois is, and I think Nick Smith said the right thing when they lost to Ohio State. It was almost like, well, maybe this is what we needed. It's a wake-up call because if we can lose to Ohio State, then we can lose to somebody in the second round, which we've seen happen. We saw it happen last year when Kentucky was the number one seed, and they lost to UAB in the second round. And I just think what's so good about Illinois, they've been constant all year with their defense. I really think that when you look at how physical they are defensively, I think Williams is quick. He gets all over you, and he's got the strength to do it. And yet, Dee Brown is just one of those guys that just finds ways to get open, but he also can guard. Powell and Augustine up front make things happen. And one thing about Augustine, when you look at their front line, to me, they finally get him into situations where he can get double-doubles. He gets 12, 14, 16 points. They're at the right place at the right time. We saw that in the second half at Wisconsin when they made the run at the end of that game. He had six big baskets in that second half that just really, really put them in a position to say they do have an inside game, and sometimes it goes unnoticed.
You didn't break down the Nick Smith factor.
Well, I think he's, you know, but he comes off that bench and he gives them that depth that they need. I just think, as long as you got bodies, you can make it happen. And I just think they're just too good. The other thing that's going to help them is they've got a bus trip everywhere. They're not even chartering planes. I mean, other teams are flying into Chicago for the Big Ten Conference tournament. They just take a bus for that. Then they take a bus to Indianapolis for the first and second round, a bus trip to Chicago for the regionals, and a bus trip to St. Louis for the Final Four. Believe me, the wear and tear of travel, if you get shipped out west or you got to go down south to Austin, Texas, or you're going to got to get up to Syracuse, especially with the weather the way it is, that beats you up and wears you down. This will be a well-rested team. And I just think now the Big Ten Conference Tournament, especially with all the Orange Crush fans in the United Center, it's just going to give them the confidence just to keep moving forward.
Digger Phelps of ESPN is with us on 590 The Fan, the Morning Grind. Digger, in your opinion, having said that, the favorable things that Illinois has going for them, do you expect them to get to St. Louis for the Final Four?
Oh, yeah. I'll be shocked if they don't. I think what the type of teams, and this is, we were thinking about this the other day, and I just came up with myself, what would bother them? Well, when they played Michigan, Michigan played some 2-3 zone, and they struggled that whole game, but they won the game against the 2-3 zone. I think a team like Syracuse could come in the Midwest, or if Syracuse got to the Final Four, that would be one type of team. I think a physical team that really mirrors them would be Georgia Tech. When you look at Jared Jack, B.J. Elder, no different than, you know, Brown and Williams and what goes on in their backcourt, but Luke Shenshier could handle the point, handle points in the paint to go up against Augustine, and that Georgia Tech team made it to the Final Four team. I think the ACC tournament just gets them ready for what they're going to face come March. And the other thing about Georgia Tech, they didn't have B.J. Elder for 9 games. He sprained an ankle in there. He had a thigh groin pull in the Kansas game back January 1st and missed 9 games, but he's back and they're in a groove. The other team might be a team like Oklahoma State, who doesn't have an inside presence with consistency, but they have the quickness and experience of great defense when you look at Eddie Sutton's teams and how they play. That would be another team that could give them an issue. But I just don't see anybody really right now that can challenge them. What's going to be interesting, guys, is when you take a look at the 8-9 brackets this coming weekend, you may see teams like Texas, Maryland, even a Georgia Tech, because they haven't had great seasons, in those 8-9 games. And that's what's going to be interesting to see who shows up in that second-round matchups. When you see the 4 number one seeds and the way it's going right now, it looks like if Kentucky wins the SEC, they can get it. If not, the question will be, can the Big East do it? If, you know, Connecticut is playing very, very well. Marcus Williams has really matured as a point guard. The NCAA tournament comes down to your guards as well as a presence in the paint. Charlie Villanueva has really had some big double-doubles inside. And don't count out Arizona. I think this Arizona team is just sitting there. No one talks about them enough. But Channing Frye reminds me so much of Okafor. Connecticut last year, and Salim Stoudemire reminds me of Ben Gordon. If their defense shows up, Arizona's another team that can make a running try to get to St. Louis.
Digger Phelps with us on 590 The Fan, The Morning Grind. Digger, in 2001, the tournament committee put Duke as a number one seed with Missouri and matched up Quinn Snyder and Mike Krzyzewski. Do you think there's a possibility that another local team here in St. Louis, the NCAA tournament committee, would match up Southern Illinois as an 8 or 9 seed with the potential to meet Bruce Weber?
No, I don't think Southern will be an 8-9 seed.
Where do you expect them to go?
They could be in a position to be like maybe a 10.
RPI is very high.
Yeah, I know, but it's the way they went out. It's going to be interesting to see what the committee does. There's so much confusion right now on who, where, what, how, why. How do you put these teams out? Where are they going to place them? And that's why I look at the 8-9s, you're going to see some really power teams in there. I mean, Southern can end up as a 6 or 7, you know, and play to 10 or 11, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter now. I think there's so much parity out there that it's going to be interesting to see who has the muscle and who has the breaks as far as the teams like Maryland, teams like Georgia Tech, a team like Texas who really, really played well against Oklahoma State, and they've adjusted since they lost P.J. Tucker. I mean, a team like Wisconsin just bugs you to play because of what Bo Ryan does with that team and how they play. A team like Washington can really go up and down. Washington wants to play in the 90s. And I think that's going to be interesting. Bob Knight's team at Texas Tech, if you take a look at how they play at their best, I think when you look at Ronald Ross and Jarius Jackson, two great guards, and like I'm saying, the NCAA tournament to me is guards, if he plays and lets those kids just turn it loose and they start running in the 80s, they could bother teams because they played well. I mean, you know, they knocked off Kansas. I mean, they just got it done when it counted. And I think they beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma when that was a big win for them. So, there's another dangerous team that people don't talk about. And it's not going to surprise me this year to see a team in the Final Four with 7 or 8 losses. It would not surprise me. Because what's going to happen when you see the brackets and you're going to see some upsets, it's going to help a team that couldn't beat a team in the Sweet 16, but that team gets knocked off in the second round. Now here comes this team, and they beat the Sweet 16 team, and now they get to the Final Eight. I think you're going to see that happen this year because there's so much different types of style of play and coaching styles. And there's so much parity in the game.
When I think of the NCAA tournament and Digger Phelps, I think of the green carnation on St. Paddy's Day, strolling the sidelines there as a good Irishman.
I'm going back to, I think the Checker Dome is in there, because in 78, the green carnation didn't work. We lost twice. We lost the semifinals, and then we lost the consolation game in overtime to Eddie Sutton and his Arkansas team. And boy, that's a bad feeling when you go to the Final Four and get two losses. I'm glad now they've backed out that consolation game because you have a great year, you get to the Final Four, and then you feel like you've had a lousy year when you lose two. At least losing one, you get a chance to still reflect on the great year you had.
Yeah, Digger Phelps was here the last time St. Louis hosted the Final Four, the old Checker Dome in 1978. Digger, we'll see you again when the Final Four rolls back to St. Louis.
You got it, guys. You take care.
All right, thanks very much, Digger Phelps.
So if you're new to the show, now you know what it means to be Diggered, and now you know why. It hurts a little bit to say you're being diggered. Hit the hole, baby. Get your point and make it. Gotta go. That's the point on the Morning Grind. We don't have much time. We got to get to all that crap that we do. For Tim McKernan, for Jim Hayes, J-Po, producer Joe Stedman, running the board every single day. The man gets one vacation day a year. We shut it down for a day to share with you the best of the Morning Grind. Hope you enjoyed it. It may take a couple more years for us to fill up one show of the best of. Yeah, we can debate it. For Tim, who's over at Pops already, ready to shoot it all day long. For the cat, who's in line at Old Country Buffet. For the whole crew here, I'm Martin. Have a great holiday weekend. We're back on Monday. This has been the best of the Morning Grind right here on 590 The Fan.